Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. Today we're going straight back to the hardwood with my main man Raj coming out of Ottawa.
Yo, what's up, Peter? Busy day in NBA yesterday.
Oh man, it was nonstop. And Josh coming out of the mean streets of Barrhaven.
Yes, sir. What a crazy night.
Yeah, it wasn't even just a night. We've had like 36 crazy hours, man. Like as soon as, not even like the 12 o'clock start time officially, but you know, at 11:30 on the night of the 30th, we started seeing, you know, the guys like Woj and Sham started going crazy on Twitter. And then obviously last night we had the news of it all. LeBron signs to the Lakers for 4 years, $154 million. This is a huge move, man. Like, what do you guys think was his primary reason? Josh, why don't you start us off here?
I think it's just money. I think he's planning to be the next multi-millionaire, if not billionaire, in the next few years with his production companies being in LA. And then the other factor, I think, is obviously his son. He's supposedly moving high schools to one of the high schools in LA, one of the higher priority type of high schools where he can, you know, get more coverage, which he's going to get a lot of coverage anyway, but he can, you know, go from AAU team to AAU team and not have to worry about traveling from one side of the country to the other. Everything's mostly in LA. Yeah. So I think that was another huge factor.
Yeah, that school is supposed to have Kenyon Martin's kid there as well and like Pippen's kid too. So they're supposed to be like stacked full of up-and-comers, I guess. But yeah, LeBron, man, it's really interesting going to LA. Like, do you think he can actually get out of Kobe's shadow or Magic's shadow in this case too?
Well, the thing I'm most interested in is how the Kobe stans are going to react to this. I want to see how the Lakers fans are going to justify this when they were like, whenever you talk about LeBron around Kobe stans, they're like, fuck this guy, you know?
Yeah.
And now they're going to have to justify him being on their team and cheering for him. It's going to be a really weird relationship.
It's going to be a 180. You got to cheer for him now. You know what I mean? Or like, what are you going to do? Just say no, like, screw this guy. I don't want him. I don't want to go back to the playoffs again. Like, come on. It'd be like the worst stance.
Yeah, like to get back to your original question though, like I think this move wasn't a purely basketball move by any sense by LeBron. Like I think this was like a lifestyle move. And he's kind of planning for his life outside of basketball as well and how to best position his son, as Josh mentioned. And as for like the Kobe and LeBron comparison and like how the fans are, the Kobe diehard fans, myself probably included, I think the nice thing about LeBron joining the Lakers now, it's a couple of years since Kobe's played. They've had, I would say, probably one of their worst spells in terms of not making the playoffs, not hitting like 40 wins the last couple of seasons. So I think it's exciting to have a player of LeBron's caliber. Like you're going to get all the top games on TNT on Thursday night. You're going to have all the primetime games on ABC on Sundays. Like it's just going to be back to the Lakers as we know it. And if you're a Lakers fan, you got to like this move because your team just instantly became a lot better with the best player in the game joining your team, regardless of if he's worse or better than Kobe. I think most fans are going to be like, you know what? We have LeBron. Like, we're winning. All that matters is championships. And I think most of the fans will probably just let it slide.
Yeah, I also found it interesting how he signed for 4 years, too. I thought he was going to do another 1+1. See how the first year went, see if Kawhi either gets traded there this summer or if he signs next summer and then make a decision again next summer, but it seems like he's fully committed and he's all in now.
So the reason it's 4 years specifically is because when it's up, that's when Bronny is eligible to come into the league.
So
I heard that on Twitter as well.
Yeah, he's trying to set it up so that he can play with this kid, which would be absolutely insane if it happens.
You know, LeBron is probably the most calculating player of all time, right? I mean, when you just go back to the finals 3 years ago, when he tried to, you know, get into Draymond's grill and try to basically throw him off to where Draymond retaliated because he knew he had, you know, the one flagrant foul left before he gets suspended. And then this past season, in what seems to be one of the greatest, smartest moves that a player has ever made, making the, you know, the Lakers and the Cavs make that trade to where the Lakers get off a bunch of salary and get a first round pick back when they traded Nance and Clarkson to Cleveland, to opening up another max slot for LeBron.
Yo, that's crazy.
And now Cleveland's completely screwed, which is hilarious in itself.
That was a huge orchestra if he actually planned it like that. But you know what? It's LeBron. Like, he literally controls probably half what happens in the NBA and where the free agents land. But that's crazy,
like,
Josh.
That. Yeah, yo, like, LeBron planned it so far in advance that he wouldn't have to play with Jordan Clarkson for more than half a year.
Yeah, and plus I'm pretty sure he knew that in getting rid of those two guys, he can open up a third max slot in case they were going to trade for somebody or, again, you know, sign a guy like Boogie, which might happen next couple weeks as well. So it's going to be interesting to see whether they do that or if they stick with a guy like Randall. But we can talk about that later, obviously.
Yo, let's go into it now. Do you think they'll keep Randall or, like, Lonzo? Kuzma's probably going
to
stay.
I think they definitely have to look at trading Ingram because I don't really think he fits anymore. Like, he has to be one of the primary ball handlers on a team. He's not really a guy that can just spot up. Yeah. But I think they should keep Lonzo for sure. Like, Lonzo, I think, is a great fit with LeBron because anybody who's watched Lonzo in the last few years knows that, like, he's not a ball-dominant player. Even though he gets a lot of assists, like, he's better. He prefers to, you know, headman the ball and just throw the ball ahead instead of bringing it up the court and getting into an offensive set and dribbling a lot. So, and plus, he's a really good defensive player, too, which most people don't really follow. So what? I think he fit really well, Ron.
Lonzo?
He's a really good defensive player, man. Yeah.
He's long.
He's length. Yeah. Causes a lot of other point guards problems. But I wouldn't say he's, like, an exceptional defensive guard. Like, he's nowhere in the same caliber as, like, Patrick Beverley or anything like that. But he's a good defensive player, I'd say.
Damn. What about, like, you don't think his shooting will be a concern, though? Because LeBron needs shooters.
He's a junior Rondo. He's a junior Rondo. That's exactly...
Awful. I wouldn't want that around LeBron.
No, but if you look back to Rondo circa 2008 when they won the championship, Rondo wasn't really handling the ball a lot, but he was making off-ball cuts, and, like, when he was catching the ball, he was, you know, attacking the defense. So I think Lonzo can do that. I think Lonzo's really a smart player, right? So he's going to do whatever it takes to help the team win.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So what's the next move for the Lakers then? Try to go after Biggie? Or Boogie? Yeah. Sorry, Biggie.
Biggie.
All right, way back.
Pulling out.
LeBron orchestrated that too, eh?
Oh. Imagine.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. Suge Knight is in jail now because of LeBron.
Yeah. No, so you go after Boogie. Like, you try to get Kawhi for what, Ingram, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, if I was, you know, the GM of the Lakers, obviously you go after Kawhi first. You try to trade Ingram and pretty much whatever it takes besides Lonzo, I would say, to get Kawhi Leonard. I mean, if you really have to trade Lonzo, sure, you can still, you know, hopefully keep a guy like Josh Hart around. He's a good defensive player, hits threes. But I just found it funny that all the Lakers young players were on Twitter last night saying, yeah, there's no doubt LeBron was going to be here. And then probably today they're going to get traded. So
yeah,
that's going to be funny looking back.
Oh, for sure. I think the big piece that the Lakers can look to is right now they still have salary for another max, and they don't have to invest in another max contract for 4 years. Like, they can look at a player like Boogie, who's coming off an injury, who's reportedly won't be healthy again until January. They can probably sign him to a 1+1 with a team option or a player option, and you're not investing that much because right now there's aren't many free agents that are available. I know we're going to get to that later with a lot of the other big name signing elsewhere. But they have the space. They can sign a good caliber player. If it works out and they see the fit working well, they can re-sign him to more years. If not, I think it's a great opportunity for Boogie to get back. He'll get exposure playing with LeBron. And at the end of the day, like, I think it's a win-win. So I think that's, like, the next logical step.
Yeah, and if I'm Boogie, I'm going to be looking for long-term security, so I'm not even sure if I would ever sign a 1+1 in this situation after a torn Achilles. So I think he's going to end up, like you said, and, you know, signing again in New Orleans for 3 or 4 years. He's not going to get a full 5 years, obviously, because the injury is too scary. But if I'm the Lakers, I would just re-sign Randall, honestly. Like, Randle is a better defensive player than Boogie, and I just think he would fit better at center with LeBron being able to switch on to smaller guards when they need to against teams like Golden State, whereas Boogie's a bit of a defensive liability against teams that go small, especially when he's coming back from an Achilles injury too. So he's never been good in terms of guarding the pick and roll as is. And Randle's younger, he's going to command less money, and they can, you know, rebuild next offseason. If they're not able to get a guy like Kawhi, they can just wait for him to become a free agent and sign him then and take what they have now into next season and maybe, again, trade Ingram, because I don't think he really fits at all there. But the other key, I think, is Kuzma, too, because I think Kuzma fits really well around LeBron. He reminds me of like a Rashard Lewis type that can just fit in seamlessly at the four and knock down shots, play a little bit off the dribble, and I think his game's going to take off with LeBron.
Yeah, I think Kuzma's the only young guy who's really safe on that team. He's young, he was drafted really late, so his contract is dirt cheap, and he can shoot. He's a decent defender. Yeah.
I wouldn't say that.
he's not much of a decent defender. Yeah, you know who would have been really good with LeBron, though? Like, a perfect wingman to him would have been PG.
Oof, yeah, speaking of.
Except he re-signed for, what, 4 years, $137 million?
That's a lot of reasons to sign with OKC, and, like, I can't fault the dude. I think it's just interesting because it really seemed like everything was lined up for him to join the Lakers. I think it would have been a nice fit with LeBron. He's going home, and I don't know what got to his head. Like, I think Russ did something or poured something in his drink for the last, like, 2 weeks. But at the end of the day, like, he's pretty much going to be playing his best years, his prime years in OKC. And to be honest, I'm a bit shocked that it happened.
You know, outside of keeping Westbrook happy, this deal makes absolutely no sense for either side. Because Paul George could have made $220 million if he signed a five-year contract with Indiana and then asked for a trade in his first year, right? He still would have got a lot more money. And he got a four-year deal for $137 million. And if he waited and got like a 1+1 or a 2+1, he could have been eligible for a 10-year Supermax contract in 2 years. And now he's locked in for 3 years at least with a player option for the fourth year. So he basically lost around $90 million to play with Russell Westbrook on a capped out team who's going to be play. They have to pay $300 million in total, the highest salary in terms of a team or in terms of tax that a team is ever going to pay as of now. And they really have to look at cutting a bunch of, you know, fat from their roster in order to get down to a decent size of in terms of salary cap. Because if not, they're going to be paying, again, the biggest tax bill ever. And that's including the Warriors from last year had to pay a massive tax bill. So I'm not really sure what they're going to do either, because you can't really get rid of Adams at this point. So
they're going to buy out Melo, man. They have to.
But even still, you still have a huge tax bill even with buying him out, because he's still going to demand like a certain, you know, amount of that salary. So yeah. This deal does not make a lot of sense. But besides, you know, Paul George obviously is a really good player, and, you know, they need him to keep Russell Westbrook happy and, you know, to keep his team in the playoffs. But outside of that, this deal is horrible.
That's all it is, yeah. Though. Like, it was literally just to maintain that strong core, or like decent core that they have, right? They don't really care about anything else.
It also makes you wonder what sort of changed in the last 10 years when they could have gave Harden an extra $10 million and kept him happy and keep those four guys together with Ibaka and then also Adams coming up versus now where they're willing to pay a $300 million tax bill. Like, what is going on? They were like the cheapest franchise in the NBA 3 years ago, and now all of a sudden they're like spending money like it's nothing. Throwing dollars in the air.
No, that was like 5 or 6 years ago, right?
Yeah, it was 5 or 6, like 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the crazy thing about OKC is, like, you just mentioned they're $300 million in, like, paying in taxes, and the way I think of it is, like, their team's, like, trimming the fat. Like, they're already an anorexic team in terms of depth. Like, they literally, I think that's probably the reason that they didn't beat the Jazz or advance farther in the playoffs is because they have no depth besides their starters. And two of their starters, obviously Melo and Robertson, were, like, non-existent in the playoffs. Obviously, Robertson for the injury and Melo because, well, he's Melo.
He's washed.
He's washed, yeah. But, like who are you going to bring on to really complement those players? Like, you can't play those 5 or 6 guys, 40 minutes a game. You're not Tom Thibodeau, right? So, I don't know. Just for me, it just seemed like he wanted to make the easy decision. Like, he just didn't want to make anyone else mad, and he just realized he had it pretty good. He was going to get good money.
So you're saying you pulled a KD?
Yeah, kind of. but in the opposite way. Like, it's like he didn't want to win.
No. I wouldn't say he didn't want to win, but it's probably more just like he's comfortable. He knows the system. He knows the culture of the organization. He knows that they're willing to spend now. What changed over the 5 years? We don't really know. But the fact is that they're willing to spend now. You know, so who could they bring in now that they're already over the cap?
Well, I think the one upside with them is when Roberson's in the lineup, they had the best defense in terms of that lineup, that five-man lineup with, Westbrook, Roberson, Paul George, Melo, and Steven Adams. So, I mean, if you, buy out Melo and you bring in a player like, Jeremy Grant, who just signed for 3 years as well, he had a really good year last year. So I think with him in the lineup, with that five-man unit, that's a really good defensive team. Yep. So as long as they're able to stay healthy and, some of the younger guys like Abrines and Ferguson actually develop a little bit, they can give them decent minutes over the course of the regular season. You might be okay for the playoffs as long as nobody's knees blow out like Robertson's did last year and playing way too many minutes. So.
They're promising.
That lineup is really good. So
yeah,
that's
really
something.
Promising.
And that lineup can guard anybody too. So even against Golden State, you can switch everything. Even Adams is really good on the perimeter. So, but they can't really add anybody right now, obviously, because they're capped out and they've already re-signed all their major players with Grant coming back too. So you have to rely on guys like Raymond Felton and Abrines and Ferguson and just hope that they're able to hold up throughout the course of the regular season and Westbrook throws up another triple-double year and they can get a 5 or 6 seed and get a favorable matchup. So,
would you rather play with OKC or with LA right now?
Paul George? Or
yeah, say if you're Paul George right now. Would you actually pick to go to the Lakers with the current roster?
Well, I think I would. I would probably go to play with in LA because A, it's LA. B, they have a lot of cap space. They can still add a few other pieces.
No, go in with the roster right now because who knows who we're going to get, right?
I'm going to pick the team without Westbrook.
Yeah, and getting to play with LeBron is probably going to be good for my career.
Or it could be awful for my career. I could be like Kyrie and just not flourish with LeBron. You know what I mean?
Well, whoa. Relax. How can you say that Kyrie didn't flourish?
No, I'm kidding. But as a star, though, it's hard to play with a guy like LeBron, right?
But you're playing with Westbrook in OKC. It's not like there's no one else there and just you and Steven Adams.
It's probably equally as bad, but maybe Westbrook is just funner to be around. Maybe you don't like LeBron's cheesiness, you know? LeBron's a corny guy. Westbrook's like Kobe. He just minds his own business.
Yeah, I guess it's a matter of, like Raj said before, if it's comfortability versus winning. So I think he chose comfortability and, instead of possibly facing Golden State in the conference finals, which is looking pretty likely right now, no matter who they sign, I know it's going to be tough. I would definitely choose LA though, in terms of the current rosters for sure. LA has a lot of talent on the team and just not, right now they don't really fit all together because they have a bunch of guys who need the ball. So I think again, Magic Johnson is going to make a trade very, very soon, if not today.
All right, let's keep it moving, man. Can we please talk about how CP3 is going to get paid so well into his late 30s? He signed 4 years for $160 million, which is more than LeBron's current contract. And he's, dude's going to be chilling when he's 38. He's going to be making $44 million in his last year.
Which is ridiculous, because we all know that, CP3 is a talented point guard, obviously top 3 point guard in the game, asterisk when he's healthy. And I think that's always been the knock on CP3 is he always ends up picking an injury and later in the playoffs. Like it happened with the Clippers. It happened against when they were playing the Warriors when he was on Houston. Like injuries are a concern. And when you get older, those muscles cramp up a bit sooner. You're more likely to just have those muscle injuries and have long-term injuries just from wear and tear. And at the end of the day, that's just too much money for a player who is obviously capable of producing good numbers and helping your team win, but you're really restricting how much you can pay your other players because at the end of the day, CP3 is not going to be the same caliber as LeBron James.
No, but at the same time, this deal was already, set in stone last offseason when they traded for him. Everyone knew they're going to re-sign him for a huge number. And then also in the last CBA, him and LeBron, came together to change the contracts for players that were over 35, I believe. So before, you couldn't sign for more than 2 years if you were in your, 32 or 33 years old. But after they, renegotiated that, they were able to secure a situation where if you're 32 or 33, you can still sign for 4 or 5 years into, a year beyond 35.
How convenient, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Pure genius. But pure genius on both their parts.
At the same time, Houston sort of, they didn't make out like bandits with this deal, obviously, but they didn't get a fifth year either. So the good thing is he's not signed up until he's like 38, 39. So a lot of people were expecting that too. They'd sign for the full max for 5 years. So yeah. At least they got a year off. But at the same time, like, it is a lot of money for this player. But at the same time, like, if they didn't re-sign him, then it'd be Harden and a bunch of guys again. And they wouldn't have really any cap space to sign anybody else. So they really had to re-sign a restricted player in Chris Paul. So
yeah, but I, like, at the end of the day, you're kind of trapping your team because now they're going to have trouble giving Capella the number he wants, and they've lost Ariza. Obviously, they still have that mega contract from Ryan Anderson, which is probably tying them up. But, like, you're really restricting how much your team can, like, change and adapt, and obviously the Warriors are the team to beat in the West. But for 4 years, $160 million for a player that's had injuries, like, and they're long-term injuries. It seems to be always the hamstring in the playoffs. It's a lot of money for a lot of, like, question marks and to get you over the hump. Like, I think it's just too much money, and I don't think any other team was going to offer in this range. I think what ended up happening is to get him from the Clippers, they had to have this mutual agreement that they were going to sign for this much money minimum, and they just kind of followed through on their word, which is respectable, but I think it's a bad financial move on Houston.
So, no, but again, like, what else were they supposed to do? They don't re-sign him, then he goes somewhere else, and then they're still stuck cap-wise after paying Capella. Yeah. So you have to re-sign your restricted guys, or else you're going to lose them for nothing. It's the same situation as what New Orleans is going through with Boogie, too. If they lose him, because they signed Holiday that huge number last year, and because they already have a bunch of really bad contracts on the books, if they lose him, they lose him for nothing, and then they're still capped out. So Houston had to re-sign him. Yeah, Houston had to re-sign him.
Yeah, but are they going to be able to give Capella the number he wants?
Yeah. Capella's going to get
so they can get whatever he wants.
He'll be fine, yeah. He'll get all of his... So the theory is that the Lakers will try to poach him, and then the Rockets will just have to match whatever number they propose. But they'll still pay him.
Which is still great because he's an RFA, but I just think that it's a lot of money for a player that, to be honest, shouldn't be getting that kind of money, even though his skill is good.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, like, they were one game away from winning or, beating the Golden State Warriors and obviously winning against Cleveland. So I think what you said before, OKC, I think it's the same thing that applies to Houston, too. They just have to find better depth and not having to play, only six guys in the playoffs next year. They have to find another couple of guys that, Mike D'Antoni can actually count on. And now there's rumors going around they're going after Wilson Chandler, which would be a really nice pickup. And, if they're able to get him as a starting small forward who can play the four a lot and then play, again, P.J. Tucker and hopefully re-sign Bob Mute, then you have at least seven guys, but then you have to find hopefully one more guy they can count on after that.
Yeah, Wilson Chandler would be a perfect fit. He's basically like Ariza, except he's a little bit better of a shooter and a slasher.
Yeah, he's not as good as a defensive player, but he's still decent on defense.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Peter would love that.
No, I actually wouldn't, man. I want Wilson to stay, but Denver is really stuck right now, too. They're spending a lot of money on, they signed Jokic for 5 year, $148. They re-signed Barton for 4 years for $54 million. Like, they've really clogged up their salary cap. And they're really cheap franchise, so they're not willing to pay that much over the tax.
Yeah, and, the weirdest story that came out yesterday was that Denver was trying to get into a meeting with LeBron, and they literally had no way of getting him on their team because LeBron became an unrestricted free agent, which means they couldn't trade for him, which means that Denver had to trade pretty much all their bad contracts and a bunch of the guys they just signed, and then they'd have Jokic and LeBron, and that was pretty much it.
You know what? It would have been perfect. That's okay. Jokic, LeBron, and Martin. That's all you need.
That would have been fun to watch, though.
Yeah, and Jamal Murray.
Yeah, Murray hasn't signed for a big number yet, so.
Yeah, man, that would have been perfect. It was pretty funny to see it happen, or see them even attempting it, because LeBron already decided that he wasn't taking any meetings that he didn't want to take. And then you have this random team just trying to slide in there, as if they're slick. Come on, man. Keep it moving, Denver. Like, I love you, but you should know better than that.
Well, they can't keep moving anymore. They're stuck with that team now. Yeah. So hopefully they're able to, you know, build something with Millsap back in the lineup now. So
that's true. That's true. All right. Do you guys really want to talk about KD? He re-signed 2 years, $61.5 million. Probably could have gotten paid more, but decided to take a little bit less, I guess.
Yeah. You know what? At the end of the day, I think everyone expected that. He's obviously committed to the cause of helping the Warriors kind of that core stick together. And you know what? At the end of the day, he prioritizes winning over a little more money for himself. So not surprised, expected. It'll be interesting to see maybe if he leaves next year, because I think that 2 year has a player option. It's a 1+1 kind of, yeah. But no surprises for me.
Yeah, I hope he leaves next offseason. That'd be amazing. Yeah, you imagine. They have a max, you know, max slot if they don't get Kawhi or Boogie, so maybe he goes there next offseason and, you know, snakes out again.
Imagine seeing LeBron play a full year with this current Lakers roster.
It wouldn't be that bad. I think it would be fun and entertaining because, like, LeBron's playing with actual younger guys that have energy and are a bit foolish. But at the end of the day, I think LeBron, we've seen in the past, likes to play with veteran players. And if things aren't going well, we know that half that roster is going to change.
His starting center is JaVale McGee. This man has, like, a little rat tail. Come on.
Two-time NBA champ, JaVale McGee.
True.
Yeah, on that note, I think the biggest, most shocking signing yesterday was right after LeBron signed. There was a Twitter notification I got that Lance Stephenson was going to the Lakers. I was like, what the hell is going on?
You thought it was a fake Woj account?
Yeah, absolutely. I was so confused. Like, I thought these guys were mortal enemies, and now Lance Stephenson's signing there to be LeBron's backup? What is going on?
You know what? I like the pickup, though. Like, for a player who's actually played ridiculously well with the Pacers, I thought the Pacers were, like, wrong.
God, Kobe's going crazy over here. My bad, man.
Kobe loves Lance.
No, he sees his Kobe's legacy is going down with LeBron.
Are you going to rename? Rename the...
Hell no, man. I like LeBron, but not that much. Jesus.
Yeah, as I was saying earlier, I think the interesting thing with Lance is, like, he should have been re-signed by the Pacers. I thought he was, like, a key reason why they were able to push the Cavs to 7, and he's played considerably better in Indiana than he has anywhere else. But I think he offers something that the Lakers don't currently have. And I think he fits in with the rest of the goon squad that's on that team. They're a bunch of goons. So I think it's not bad for what the Lakers got him for. And he's just another piece, another player that can come off the bench and offer you something a little different. And I think that's something that the Lakers need, a little more depth. And hopefully they get another player. Obviously, it'd be nice to get Boogie or Kawhi. And I don't think it's going to be that bad for LeBron. I think he'll be able to kind of cruise through the Western Conference and get a top seed.
Wow, that's pretty optimistic. Yo, Josh.
Yo.
How excited are you for this quadruple D in Dallas here? Now that DeAndre Jordan signed, you got your boy Luka Doncic, who's their new draftee, obviously. Dennis Smith Jr., Dirk is re-signed.
I want to talk about one more angle on Lance first. I think we're all hoping that he plays the same way as he did in Charlotte, now in the Lakers, and then him and LeBron just get into it, and he ends up getting cut like halfway through the season.
It's bound to
That's
happen.
Inevitable, right?
It's bound
That's
to
inevitable.
Lance can't play anywhere except for Indiana, as we've seen.
Yeah, and he's going to be expected to be a spot-up shooter when he comes off the bench for LeBron, so it's going to be funny to watch. And then JaVale, with all his mistakes and not being able to be masked by the Warriors' great defense and coaching, how LeBron's going to react to him. Other signings last night just made me laugh.
JaVale's going to get traded halfway through the year. There's no way he finishes the year. Yeah, there's no way he finishes the year with a Laker uniform on. Come on, man. Bring it back to Dallas for me.
All right. I was too excited about that.
Big D's and
so
titles.
Yeah, I mean, that deal was probably the best deal so far this offseason, and only getting, you know, 1 year of DeAndre instead of having to sign him for 3 or 4 years as a 30-year-old player who's, you know, his last year he was pretty good, but I think after Blake got traded, he just didn't really have the same type of energy. So I think with in going back to Dallas and getting him in, you know, one of his last prime years, I think that's going to be a perfect fit there with him and, you know, Rick Carlisle, who's going to use him properly. He's pretty much the same type of player as what Tyson Chandler was during, you know, the championship run. And with Dallas playing so much pick and roll, like that's just an absolute perfect fit with him running to the rim and catching lobs with Luka and Dennis.
I think him and Doncic will form like a very entertaining pick and roll matchup. And I think at the end of the day, Dallas has been kind of after DJ for how many years now? And I think honestly, they got him in the best case scenario for both player and team. Like he's on a 1 year, $24 million. That's a very reasonable contract for a player of his caliber who's in kind of the prime years of his career. And if things work out, I think they're obviously going to look to re-sign him. And if not, I think DJ is free to kind of go where he thinks he's best utilized.
Yeah, it seems like a perfect deal for both sides.
Do you think they're going to go back to the playoffs this year?
With that lineup and Rick Carlisle coaching, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, they actually have a pretty good starting lineup now with Wes Matthews at the three, Harrison Barnes at the four. They just have to shore up on their depth off the bench. They still have Barea, obviously, and Dirk, who's going to re-sign now for $4 or $5 million. So they do have a little bit of depth, but they still have to get maybe another swingman off the bench.
What do you think their starting lineup is? You have Smith at the one.
Yeah, Doncic at the two, and then Wes Matthews at the three, and Barnes at the four.
So Dirk comes off the bench, eh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can't start with Dirk with DeAndre, I don't think. I mean, he's 40 years old now. Like, he has to eventually transition to a bench role. I don't think, like, teams are just going to, you know, if he plays even 20 minutes a game, they're just going to do what they did to, you know, Steph in the playoffs and just earmark him and just go at him every single time, especially against the starters. Whereas off the bench, he can just play a role as like a guy going to spot up, shoot, and give you like 10 to 12 points a game in like limited minutes. So I think that's the way they're going to go next year.
Speaking of big men, I know that there's kind of rumors have been thrown around that Howard's going to get bought out and he's looking to go to his next destination. And for a player who has kind of shown that he's toxic in the locker room by all accounts, but who's still able to put up productive numbers, do you think he ends up on a contender in the West?
No.
No.
I think he's going to go to a bottom feeder.
So where do you think he ends up?
I don't know. Maybe Sacramento or something. Some garbage team.
The Knicks. He's going to go to the Knicks. Oh. That's where he's going to go.
Please no, man. I don't want to see him in New York. He'd be awful with KP. And now that they have Hezonja too, like they can't afford to have Dwight Howard there ruining the locker room. Like
well, on the note of, I don't think Kristaps is going to play next year, to be honest. Like, he's scheduled to come back in January, February, but why would they bring him back if they already know they're going to be terrible?
Because they're the Knicks.
Yeah, watch he gets hurt again when he comes back. But, yeah, I mean, like, if you're talking about him going into a situation that's either, type of contender team, or if he's going to go into a situation where he goes back to another garbage team and he tries to post up every play. You know, there's rumors about him going to Golden State or LA, and LA's already signed two knuckleheads yesterday, so why not go for a third one?
Oh my god. Ugh. I can't handle that.
They need a starting center.
I can't handle that. Lakers fans will, burn down the Staples Center if that happens.
And there's no chance of him going to the Warriors. Like, the Warriors don't want him.
No, hell no.
The Warriors want Noel, though.
That would be a good fit.
Noel would be great on that team, yeah.
Yeah, if I'm the GM of Golden State, I'm like, you know what, Noel, who's I think been a little unlucky in his career, also hasn't put in probably the same effort as he did when he was with Philly. I think that's like the perfect fit. He can revive his career. He'll start winning. I think being around those guys will be good for him, and I think he's like the perfect fit at center. But we'll see when that happens.
Sorry, man. Kobe's going like nuts over here.
He's excited about the Lakers, I guess.
Yeah, apparently. I think everyone's excited for the Lakers.
Also, there's been kind of reports going back to the Lakers, because I think that's going to be the topic of today. There's been reports that they've been looking at seeing if they can work with Charlotte to get Kemba Walker, which I think is wishful thinking. But I think that would be a great fit, him coming to LA and playing with LeBron.
At the same time, though, if they were trading Lonzo for Kemba, I absolutely hate that deal. I think Lonzo is honestly probably a better fit for now and the future. He's a better defensive player, especially. And in the playoffs, like, you need defensive players to be able to guard the Warriors and, you know, be smart. He would just be picked out every single play, like we talked about Steph Curry before. I like the fit with him and LeBron, just because Kemba is a scoring guard and LeBron loves scoring guards. Mm-hmm. But I just think Lonzo's a better fit overall. And the other thing, too, is they signed KCP yesterday to a one-year $12 million deal. So you know a trade is definitely coming soon because KCP is going to be the starting two for them next year.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So who else do we have? Oh, let's go back to the Raptors, guys, since, you know, localized here, we see them a lot more. Fred VanVleet signs 2 years, $18 million. Any surprises? Yeah, pretty much what we expected to happen.
Yeah, good fit for him. I think it's a good chance for him to kind of continue improving his career. The money's right. The contract length is good for him. I'm a bit surprised. I thought he could have got a little more considering sixth man of the year candidate and all. I think it's a good fit, perfect for the Raps. Like, I think this was something that was going to get done, and good for the Raps. And now that LeBron's out of the East, who knows, dare I say?
Raptors going to the finals next year?
No. Not a chance in hell. But yeah, I mean, with the signing, I mean, with Phoenix, they had $15 million or so in cap space, and they chose to use it on Ariza rather than getting starting point guard. So that sort of limited VanVleet's options because most other teams have at least their starting point guard in place. And he chose to stay with the Raptors and continue to get, you know, 24 to 28 minutes off the bench as their sixth man. So this deal is a perfect fit for both sides, and it's probably one of the better, you know, signings that happened yesterday, honestly. I mean, both sides are very happy with this conclusion.
Yeah, it's true, it's true. All right, you guys have any last words? Anyone that you want to pick out that we didn't mention yet? And we want to talk
about? I mean, Mario Hezonja yet to the Knicks. I mean, yes. Come on. This is going to be absolutely incredible. He's such a fiery player.
Don't you mean Hezonja to the Blazers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Woj bomb, that was not a Woj bomb. was that was quite surprising, too. Yeah, it was a pure dud. Fake bomb alert.
That was so weird. I was so confused, man. I didn't know what to do. Like, I was just like looking on my phone like, what? Is he retracting? No, he's just changing? All right, whatever.
Yeah. The funny thing is, like, Hezonja's probably going to start for the Knicks next year with Kristaps being out until, you know, January, February, or the entire season, possibly. So I think Knicks fans are going to love him. I mean, he's a super fiery player. He really stepped up last year when he actually got minutes. And I think he's a hidden gem, just like, you know, a guy like Nerlens Noel. I think he just needs a chance on the right team to be able to produce. I know the Knicks are going to be terrible anyway next year. But I think in getting him on like a really cheap deal, this might turn out to be something that turns out to be a great thing for them.
Yeah, even if Porzingis was playing next year, they would still be starting Hezonja at the three. Right? Like he's definitely a quality player. And they don't really have that much depth on this team.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Fizdale, when he first signed on there, he already said that Lance Thomas is scheduled to start at the three because he's a defensive player, so I'm not sure that would be the case. But who knows? That would just be a smokescreen. So. But I think Hezonja is going to start at the four, and he played really well at the four for Orlando later in the year, even though they got blown out every game. But he actually showed like he has some skill. He can shoot threes. He can get to the basket. He's not a great defensive player yet, obviously, which he's probably never going to be, but he can put the ball in the hole, so.
Who else do they? Okay, so who do the Knicks have now? You've got Ntilikina, Moutier. Who's their big signing? Hardaway Jr. That nasty.
They don't have a lot. Yeah, I mean, Cantor opted in again, of course, because he's not going to get $18 million anywhere else. Yep. So I don't blame the guy for doing that. But their team is probably going to be one of the worst three teams in the NBA next year, even if Kristaps comes back, because their guard situation is not good at all.
Yeah, that's rough. Maybe Dwight Howard should go there.
I mean, if you want a tank commander, he'd be great there.
Just so we can relegate him somewhere that no one will care about.
Like, the most Knicks-y move that they could do is trading for Kemba Walker right now, because that would be an absolutely terrible situation for both sides. Yeah, and Kemba has... He is, but he's got, like, what, 1 year left? Yeah. And they just don't have a good team around him. So he's basically going to a worse version of Charlotte. And they'd be giving up a guy like Ntilikina for him, who's, a good young player, who's already one of the better defensive guards in the NBA last year. So he's just got to improve his offense, obviously, and he can be a potential starter, but I would not do that type of deal in trying to get another type of mid-level guard for young talent and just, you know, ruining your cap again. They've already ruined it enough with Noah's contract, which they're going to have to stretch eventually, I think. But that team is just in pure turmoil like they have been the last 20 years.
And that's what we've learned on free agency. The Knicks are still the Knicks no matter what.
I was hoping LeBron would go there, to be honest. LeBron in the Big Apple would be amazing. Madison Square Garden with that media around him. Like, either L.A. or New York, I think he could have, you know, again, grown his businesses in either spot. And I would have rather him see, you know, seen him go to New York and build a team there rather than go to L.A., but here we are.
I wanted him to go to the Clippers. Like I said it before on one of our other podcasts, but that would have been amazing. Just, like, really stick it to the Lakers, you know?
That would have been something else. But at the end of the day, I think with DeAndre leaving to join the Mavs.
DJ would have left if LeBron's committed to them. Hell no. I wouldn't, like, TJ's not leaving LeBron if he had the opportunity. You got Beverly there. Tobias Harris is a decent player. Lou Will. It would have been entertaining, if not. Like, it probably wouldn't have been that good, but it would have been entertaining as hell. And still in LA, which is the key for him.
Yeah, I think the Magic Johnson factor also, you know, was huge for LeBron and him coming to his place yesterday, I think 2 days ago, and meeting with LeBron on July 1st, or right midnight, I guess, and, you know, supposedly meeting with him for 3 hours and convincing him to come to the Lakers. So that was another big thing, but I think mostly it's just about money and obviously his kid with LeBron. Now, getting into the last thing on the pod, I think we should talk about Kawhi Leonard, obviously. So where do you guys predict it right now? Where is he going to go in the next few days? Because he's going to get traded before July 10th, I think. So is he going to be going to the Lakers, Clippers, Sixers? Where is he going?
I don't think he's going to the Lakers. I really think that they're going to hesitate to send him there. Obviously, they don't want to strengthen a rival. Second, I think they don't want to give him what he wants. I think that also kind of traps whatever team is going to offer him something. Because at the end of the day, he's come out and said he only wants to be a Laker, if not this year, the next year after in 2019. Personally, I think Philadelphia seems to be the team that's going to have some pieces to offer. I think they really shouldn't. I think they'd be blowing up their team to get obviously a quality player, but a player that they don't necessarily need, especially in a weaker Eastern Conference. But to answer your question, like I personally don't think he's going to move before July 10th. I think San Antonio is going to hold a hard bargain and like really look and see what teams can offer. And I think one of the teams is going to just kind of offer two or three first round picks plus one or two promising young players. But I don't think it's going to be one of the teams we expect them to trade him to.
Yeah, if I were San Antonio, I wouldn't trade him either. I would just let him sit and really, like, he's already threatened to sit the season again. And what are you going to do as a former MVP candidate?
Okay.
Sit 2 years in a row? Get out of here.
Let's talk about that report for a second. That report by Stephen A. Smith is totally false. If you actually, as a player, it's in the collective bargaining agreement. If you actually sit out as a player and you don't have an injury, they can actually get rid of your contract and not pay you. So they can terminate your contract without pay. So that's not going to be happening. That was complete nonsense. But
classic Stephen
getting A. back to... Yeah, I mean, like, he's just full of crap. He got lucky that one off season when he predicted LeBron was going to go to Miami. But before that, he said, oh, yeah, LeBron's going to this place and this place and this. Those, of course, going to be right eventually.
Yeah, I agree. But if I were San Antonio, I would just hold on to him, too. Hold on to him and then until you have a package that you're happy with. He's a former MVP candidate, probably a top three player at his peak performance.
He's probably the second best player in the league. When he's healthy.
Would you take him over KD?
Honestly, maybe.
Wow. I would definitely be second best then.
Yeah, okay, fine. Whatever, I have him like third. I have him after KD, but whatever. It's irrelevant. The whole point is that he's one of the best players in the league. You have to get an amazing package for that. Right? Like, you don't want to and it's San Antonio. They're not the type of team that would just like make a trade because their guy demanded it, like Cleveland did last year.
Or the Knicks, too.
Yeah, or the Knicks. We've seen Sacramento do it in the past. Like, San Antonio is not one of those organizations. So I can't see it happening.
what I hope happens is that he goes to Philadelphia and he ends up in the same type of situation as what Paul George went through the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And that he goes to OKC, you know, everyone thinks he's going to the Lakers, and then he sees that this situation is better for him. And I think he's an absolute perfect fit on Philadelphia as well. You know, being that defensive stopper and a guy that can lead them in the playoffs as a primary ball handler, and a guy that can score in the fourth quarter, which is something they had problems with last year. So you put him in a lineup with, you know, J.J. Redick, Simmons, Embiid, and whoever else after they would have probably traded Covington, Saric, and a few first-round picks. I mean, guys are going to be flocking to go to Philadelphia this offseason if that does happen in the next couple of days. So I think they're a real option for him.
I do agree with him being a good fit in Philadelphia, but I think the pieces you have to give away really hurt your team in the long run. And especially if Kawhi really does say he wants to go to the Lakers, that's not something that I can hope to give up a good, promising future for a hope that he ends up liking like Philadelphia. And especially the fact that he said the Lakers specifically, I think what really happened to him, and there's been reports that he's changed his agent, his agent's now his uncle. I think the key thing with Kawhi Leonard is he's literally trying to get money and trying to get exposure. And he knows for him to get exposure, he wants to be in the biggest market. And the biggest market is obviously New York and LA, and no one really wants to play for the Knicks for obvious reasons. So I think that's a lot to give up for Sixers. I actually thought the Sixers, and the fact that they weren't able to re-sign a few of their players like Ilyasova, they weren't able to sign, who else is the other player? Bellinelli. Like, those are two players that were obviously not like the key reasons why they were far, but those are key role players, like solid players off the bench. They seem to enjoy their time in Philadelphia, and I would prioritize re-signing those players than taking a chance on giving up a lot to get Kawhi for 1 year rental when he might not even want to play that much or might sit out because his quad hurts and then him leave the next year.
I don't see that. Because one of the main reasons he didn't go back to San Antonio was because they were talking shit about his injury. Like Tony Parker, yep. Who's like, what, 34, 35 this year, said his injury was 100 times worse than Kawhi's. Like, how do you compare your injury with somebody else's? Like, one of your teammates who's carried you for the last, like, 3 years. It's very disrespectful what they did, and I think that really hurt him more than anything else.
Yeah.
So it might. I think, like, his relationship with San Antonio was that severed. But that doesn't necessarily correlate with him wanting to only be in LA. LA is just a hometown team, right? But Philly is like, Philly has so much potential. I could see that working beautifully.
And yeah, his camp has already said that they're open to going to Philadelphia too, so.
Who?
His camp already said they're open to going to Philly as well. So I think if he gets in a situation there where like they have those three guys in the Eastern Conference as is without LeBron and they get to the finals, like how can you say no to coming back at that point?
Yeah, they would just have to. Philly just has to commit to putting out, like, Saric, basically, is the main one in this case. Because they're not going to let go of Simmons or Embiid.
Yeah, but they already said that Fultz wouldn't be traded as well, so he's also a key piece.
I think it's a lot to give up, especially when your team is very close and a weaker in Eastern Conference now that LeBron's gone.
Yeah, I disagree with that, too. Saric, I mean, you get those three guys together, yeah. My goodness.
Yeah, okay, Saric, Covington, you've already lost Ilyasova, you've lost Bellinelli because you have to sign
this. Yeah, but those guys are big players.
No, but you could have re-signed them.
No, but I mean, Ilyasova got $7 million a year for 3 years. Like, Milwaukee, like, severely overpaid him.
Yeah.
And even though Bellinelli's deal was okay, I mean, those guys, you can find shooters off the bench that can fit around those three guys. That's not really the important thing.
Yeah, go get Korver on a short-term deal, and you're good.
Yeah, he's going to be available for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still disagree with you guys. I think that you're giving up a lot to take a chance. And I think where Kawhi's issue becomes is, like, there's also reports of him being upset that the Jordan brand, which he has a shoe deal with, kind of offered him pennies on the dollar in his camp's view. And I think he really knows that come October 1st, he wants to be making money, the money he deserves to make. And, yes, he could sign a Supermax with San Antonio, but I think his uncle's like, you can build a brand, you can build a company, you can build a life after basketball that probably isn't there in San Antonio because their team is very like bread and butter. Their superstars aren't loud and they don't have a personality, and that's probably Kawhi as well. But I think they just really want him to be in a city where he gets exposure, where he can sell a brand. And
yeah, but if you're talking about a brand, you're talking about the player, right? I don't think it's a team that he's on. I think it's that he's a mute. That's the reason why nobody wants to buy into him. Yeah. So he fit perfectly on Philadelphia because Ben Simmons is also mute, so they can have no conversation together.
Yeah, they would just milk Embiid's personality.
Yeah, pretty much.
He can go on just the JJ Redick podcast. It would be perfect for his branding.
Yeah, can you imagine like JJ Redick having him on the podcast and it's like JJ talking to himself the entire time?
So Kawhi,
it's like, hey, Kawhi, how's Philadelphia treating you so far? Silence.
Good. That'd be amazing, man. Yeah, I'm with you, Josh. Kawhi to Philly, let's go.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm in on this. Tell the Raptors to wait, because they're not going to the finals if Kawhi comes east.
They're not going regardless. Boston will kill them anyway. Yeah, now, Boston's the favorites right now, but I think if Kawhi goes to Philadelphia, they'd be the favorites at that point.
Current Philly would also beat Toronto, current.
No, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Those two guys plus us three would beat the Raptors. Especially in the playoffs.
I don't know, man. Rush is a banger. That's probably why.
Well, obviously. Get all those rebounds.
He'd eat Serge Ibaka's lunch all day, man.
Oh.
He'd be like, Serge, you're like 50? I got this. I can run.
Easy.
All right, guys. I think it's time that we wrap it up. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in today. Remember, rate and subscribe. Find us on the iTunes podcast app. You got us on Google Play, Stitcher, and all that. And, yeah, that's about it, guys. Thanks again, and until next time, peace.